You're listening to the Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
Let me get started today by reading you a scripture that I just love, one of my favorites in the Bible. It'll be on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and it says this. It says, God is able to bless. Everybody say bless. You, how much? Abundantly. That means a whole bunch. So that you will have, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be able to abound, I love that word, in every good work. Now, I always like to give deference in every single service I speak at to realize you never know where somebody is at. You know, we're in a church service this morning, and if you didn't know that, so let me be the first to welcome you to church. But I don't know, maybe this is your first time. Maybe you got on the wrong bus. Maybe somebody just begged you to come, and now you're here, and you don't know if you buy into this whole Jesus thing or whatever, and you just knew they were going to talk about something weird, and we literally have it literally on the wall behind me. So we are going to talk about something weird. We're going to talk about something people normally don't talk about, and that is the blessing of God. But let me just say this. Even again, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in any of this stuff, can I tell you, you believe in what I'm about to talk about this morning, and I will prove it to you. I'll prove it to you with two words. The two words are Star Wars, right? Star Wars. How many of you live in your mom's basement and you watch Star Wars? No, I'm just kidding. But Star Wars, I'm a big fan of Star Wars. And the Star Wars franchise, and I was a teenager when it came out, the Star Wars franchise has made $40 billion worldwide with a B. I mean, that is a lot of money for a movie franchise. And in the Star Wars franchise, they have this thing called the Force, right? And the Force is what makes you better than you actually are. You can't accomplish your destiny unless you have this outside power, this outside force coming in and actually magnifying the best parts of you and kind of limiting or eliminating the worst parts of you. Now, that's a really cool concept, but the problem is that's just a movie, right? Here's what I love about Christianity. One of the many things is we have something called the Christian advantage. It is the blessing of Almighty God. It isn't just a fantasy that God actually wants to empower our lives and make us better than we actually are. And so this morning, man, if you are not a believer or maybe you've been serving God for a while but you just haven't walked in this, I want you to perk up because this can be the difference maker between the life that you want to have or the life you're supposed to have and living a completely different life. And I believe it's the blessing of God. So what does it mean to be blessed by God? What does it mean to be blessed? Well, for us to really have this conversation, the first thing we have to understand is something about the nature of God. And that is simply this. God is a blessing God. And in fact, just to help me out, it's the 11 o'clock service. I'm a little tired this morning, but I want you to help me out. And I want you to say this with me. God is a blessing God. In fact, let's make it a little more personal. Let's say God wants to bless me, all right? One, two, three. God wants to bless me. Let's say it one more time. God wants to bless me. Now, if you're here this morning and you were struggling a little bit to say that with a whole lot of conviction, you might be suffering from what psychologists and sociologists call status quo bias. I actually spent some time studying this particular assertion, and what they believe is this. They believe that we human beings and virtually every other creature on Earth or on the planet are, for good or bad, unconsciously committed to staying the same. In other words, once a status quo or a standard is set, they believe that through their study, they have discovered that we will unconsciously surrender to the behaviors, the rhythms, the habits of that standard. The best way to say it would be like this. Our tendency is not to believe for worse, and our tendency is not to believe for better. No, our tendency as human beings is to believe for the same. Now, if you're just a normal person going through life, maybe that's not so bad. But if you are a Christian, if you are a Christ follower, that is a real problem if you believe in the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is not committed to keeping your life the same. No, the God of the Bible is a blessing God. And in fact, you cannot study the Bible without running into the blessing of God from the start to the finish. Did you know the Bible mentions the word blessed over 400 times? And if you take synonyms of that word, like blessing or whatever, it is hundreds of times more. All throughout the Bible, blessed is this amazing biblical concept, and it is prevalent from start to finish. The Bible tells us that in the first 6 days when God created the earth, that at the end of those 6 days, he sat down on the seventh day and he blessed his creation. Why does God create stuff? He creates so that he can bless. The reason why God created you, the reason why God created me, is because God is a blessing God, and he wanted to have something to bless. But it gets even better than that, because we human beings, we are actually created in the image of God. So not only do we get to be the object of his blessing, but we also get to be the expression of his blessing. What does that mean? It means that you and I, since we are created in God's image, not only do we get to be blessed, but we actually get to be a blessing. We actually get to bless other people. And I'll give you a little secret. If you do for somebody else what you're wanting God to do for you, how many of you know God is way more likely to do it for you? You start caring about others, and God will absolutely pay you back in multiple ways. In fact, I'll say it like this. You are never more like God than when you bless somebody. Whenever you decide to be a blessing, that's why I believe in mission so much. I believe in so many different things. Because why? Because we are actually imitating God when we become a blessing, especially to those who cannot pay you back. And especially, get this morning, because somebody needs to hear this, especially to your enemies. Did you know that when somebody hurts you, that you don't have to pay them back? And in fact, God has created a system where he will bless you if you bless them instead. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:9, it's not on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It says, do not repay evil for evil. You don't have to hurt somebody if they hurt you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Everybody say blessing. Because that is what God has called you to do. We're always looking for God's will. Here it is. It says that's what he's called you to do. And then he will grant you his blessing. God has promised that when you are a blessing, even to your enemies, that he will bless you back. Now, this concept of the blessing of God is all throughout the Old Testament. It's all throughout the New Testament, but nobody modeled it better than Jesus. In the Gospels, we see Jesus picking up little children so that he can bless them. We see him gathering people around him at various times for the purpose of blessing them. We see him preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon to ever be preached, about the blessing of God. And in fact, did you know that the last thing Jesus did in his earthly ministry was to bless people? This is the post-resurrection Christ. This is not the crucified Christ, but I love this verse in Luke 24, verse 50. And it says this, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he what? He blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. In other words, literally while Jesus is being taken back to heaven, he is blessing us to the very last second. Our God is a blessing God. Now, the Bible uses all kinds of words and phrases to help us understand what the blessings of God are all about. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I just want to give you a few of them, a few of my favorites this morning. The first one is the favor of God. Everybody say the favor of God. I didn't say favoritism. I said favor. I call this the smile of God. This is like walking in such an approval from your Creator that literally everywhere you go, you end up with this unexpected advantage over everybody else. God is just smiling on your situation and opening up doors and giving you opportunity and causing people to like you that maybe you have no business receiving that, and yet God makes it happen. Just one day of walking in God's favor could absolutely change everything about your life. The Bible talks about the hand of God. We see phrases like the hand of God is upon us, or God will stretch out his mighty hand, speaking about power and authority, God actually going before you and protecting and advancing your life. I love this one. The Bible talks about generational blessing. This is when God comes upon a life and he blesses that life so much that it starts being passed down to the generations that come after that life. Even more than that, it literally starts to break all of the iniquities and curses that have been passed down throughout a family line. I know in my particular family, I am the first person in my family to ever graduate from college. I am the first Christian in my family. At one point, I was the first person in my family to ever fly on a plane. And literally this month alone, I've been all over the world as God has begun to bless my life. And not only that, but I have seen God in my family line. There was nothing but suicide and divorce and depression and all this kind of stuff. And yet God, as he saved me, he started saving my family, my parents, my siblings, my grandparents started coming to Christ. I believe when somebody looks back on my family line, literally I'm a nobody from nowhere, and yet they will say there was something about that family when that 16-year-old kid got saved. Everything began to change for everybody else. Amen. Let's give God a praise this morning. Now I have been able to see it go throughout my life. I've actually been, my kids love God and they serve God. My son is a youth pastor in Kansas City. My daughter works with a church plant in Dallas. Now I've actually seen my life and my ministry go multi-generational. And I'm actually praying now for grandkids because I want it to go generational. Amen. I want God to continue to bless it. Listen, some of you, I know it's not going to be easy. But all of that debt and all that stuff that's been passed down and you've learned from family line, it goes back to generation after generation. And we're not hard on them. Why? Because, listen, maybe your dad treated you that way because his dad treated him that way and the dad before him. But how many of you know it can end with you, amen? It can end with you. Literally, you can break every curse, every bondage, and blessing can be passed down to future generations. The last one here might be my favorite. Something called the shalom of God. Everybody say shalom. It's just a fun word to say, by the way, but it's a powerful Hebrew word that is used over and over in the Bible to describe the blessing of God. And they would literally do it in greeting. They would shalom each other in the Hebrew culture. And of course it means peace, but it also means so much more. If you look it up in the original, the word shalom means this. It means the total panorama of God's blessing. So whenever I shalom you, I'm actually saying to you that I want you to be blessed with the totality of God, with all that God has to offer. And by the way, how many of you know God has to offer everything that we need? He calls himself the great I am. You know what that means? Whatever you need, I am. Whatever you need, I'm already there. God can bless you out of any situation, out of any life. He literally wants to bless you with the entire panorama of who he is. So when I shalom you, and I want to bring shalom back, man, I want to be a shalomer. I want to get shalomed. I want shalom to be all up in this place. I think it would be a great follow-up to this series if this became the Shalom Church, man. We just start blessing each other, right? Whenever I shalom you, I'm saying I want you to have wholeness in your soul, your body, your mind. I want you to be blessed generationally so that literally all that was passed down to you can be broken in Jesus' name and you can pass down something better. better to your kids. I want you to be blessed in your relationship, peace with God and people, to be overflowing with prosperity, not so you can have a bigger house, but so that you can be generous. I want you to be protected from your enemies and victorious in battle. I want you to be blessed with the entire panorama of God. How many of you receive it this morning? Amen. See, I think as a church, Big C, not just Journey, but Big C as a church, I don't think we believe in shalom anymore. I think we believe in sameness. Man, I hear it everywhere I go. Oh, Pastor Doug, I made it through another week, you know, just barely, but boy, God's so good. I mean, we had just enough. And I've been there before. I'm not downing you, my friend. Sometimes it's a graduation to have just enough. I get that. But can I tell you, we serve a God of more than enough, amen? We serve a God of overflow. I God has just so spoken this to Jeannie and I as we've been walking in his blessing, and he's been, you know, fully moving us past debt into blessing and all that kind of. Can I tell you, God's just kind of spoken and say, listen, I love you, and I want you to walk in my overflow. I don't want you struggling. I want you to be in a position to be able to obey me on any level, amen? Some of you guys, you'd be in Jamaica with us in a month, but you just can't afford it. Can I tell you, God wants to move you past that, right? So that you can go someplace, bless somebody that could never pay you back. I believe that God wants us to not just walk in the same, but God wants us to walk in his shalom blessing. Amen? Now, why is that so important? Well, it's so important on so many levels, but not just for you. It is so important to walk in the blessing of God, so important that you get what you've been taught over this last 6 weeks or so, because we live in a world of effort, not empowerment. Everywhere I look, it is a blessing-starved world. Man, I just got to try a little bit harder. Man, I just got to work a little. If I could just get another connection, I'm just waiting for that big break. No, my friend, no. What you need is not your effort. What you need is his empowerment. And aren't you tired anyway? Aren't you tired of trying to climb over the next person and get to the top and make it happen? No, that's not the way the blessing of God works. No, blessing defined is simply this. It is an impartation of the supernatural power of God into a life or a circumstance. It is God saying, I'm going to empower you with myself, and I am a God of more than enough. I can do anything, amen? Now, the problem with not walking in God's blessing, and this is bad news and good news, is that when you are just living in your effort instead of his empowerment, you are left with you. And I got bad news, good news for you. You're not enough. I'm not enough. Pastor Jesse, he's not enough. Missy, she loves Jesus more than any person I ever met, and she's not enough. Amen? I mean, you know, none of us are enough. But with his power, we become more than enough. Amen? I can't accomplish what he's put on my life. I don't even have enough of me to go around for my own family, let alone all the other connections God has in my life. And yet, when his power, when his blessing comes on me, I suddenly am more than enough because he is enough. Now, I think today what we need is a big what-if moment. What if we just decided, come on, get this morning, church, that we are not going any further. Pastor Doug, I'm not going to take one more step in life without what you're talking about. I want to walk in God's blessing. What if we became like when Jacob wrestled with God and he said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. How many of you think God could have broke the sleeper hold Jacob had on him, right? But God just loves it when we grab hold. And he say, you know what? I'm not going to let go. I'm going to struggle here with you, God, because I can't go any further. I can't fulfill my destiny if you don't bless me. I think what we need is an Exodus 33:15 moment. In Exodus 33, a man named Moses that might be the greatest leader in all of the Bible next to Jesus himself. He is having a hard time. 3 million people have been led out of slavery, and now he's in charge. He doesn't even have much help. I mean, you know, one man is not enough for 3 million people, right? And he's just saying, God, I don't know what to do. And in fact, they're starting to make false idols. They're starting to want to go back to Egypt. And finally, in Exodus 33:15, Moses cries out to God, and he says this. He says, if your presence does not go with us, we will not go up from here. In other words, God, we're not going to move one more inch. We're not going to take one more step on this journey unless I know that you are with us. And then he says this, Exodus 6:33-16. He said, how will anybody know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What will be what else will distinguish us or set us apart from us and me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? God, we are not going to take another step without the distinction of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God, the hand of God, the shalom of God upon our life unless you go with us. What if that became the way you lived? I challenge you this morning. I think it could change everything. What if you decided that would be the way you would conduct your business, your family, your ministry, all of it? What if you began to filter, everybody say filter, every choice on whether or not it positioned you and your family and your church, your business, whatever, on whether or not you are blessed by God? I call this the ultimate filter. And the ultimate filter is this. If I fill in the blank, will God bless me? Man, if I take that job, will God bless me? I mean, it makes sense to me. It might even be more money. It might even be more power. But I don't want to do it if I don't know that God is in it. If I date that person, I mean, they're so good looking. They are what I have waited for. I mean, they are as handsome as Pastor Jesse. It is amazing. No, I don't want to date that person. Amen. I don't want to do that. I don't want it if God's not in it. Amen. I don't want to participate in that activity unless God's in it. If I move to that city, will God bless me? If I purchase that house, will God bless it? If I go to that church, if I don't go to that church, if I pursue that career, if I launch that, whatever it is, if I do this, if I do that, if I go here, if I go there, will God bless me? Because I'm not moving another inch unless I know that God's blessing is upon it. I'm amazed at the stuff that we don't even pray about. And yet we see it in the book of Acts that God would prompt and he would lead and he would forbid and he would say, not now, but later, but oh, go right now. It's an urgent moment. They would follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And every time they did it, the blessing of God would be upon them. Man, once you decide to prioritize the blessing of God above all else, your choices become simple. Not easy, but simple. Your decisions become one-dimensional. That's it. It's not about what makes sense to you. It's about what makes sense to him. Amen? Will God bless me? And you're no longer limited anymore by your power and your connections. Because how many of you know God knows everybody? Amen? He can connect you with people that you couldn't even begin to fathom. I've been experiencing in my own life this month alone. When you stop seeking the favor of men, you start seeking the favor of God. You know what happens? When you fear people, you're afraid of everything. But when you fear God, you're afraid of nothing. Isn't that amazing? It just abolishes all other fear. Your good ideas, your creativity. Oh, I've got such good ideas. Well, you know what? Your creativity is so irrelevant compared to the creativity of the Creator. Amen? One God idea could absolutely blow away and make totally insignificant all of your good ideas. When you're walking in the blessing of God, all of a sudden your little efforts start packing bigger results than expected. When I think of God's blessing, I think about it like a key that opens a door. You know, my dad used to say when I was growing up, he used to say that locks are for honest people. Because how many of you know if you're dishonest, man, you can just kick the door open. They're not really a lock that can keep you out, right? But when it comes to the blessing of God, you don't have to jiggle the door to get it open. You don't have to go around and find another way or force your way in. You know, so many of us do that. We bump a door open, and then we're like, God, now would you bless me? No, when you're walking in God's blessing, the key just fits, amen? You don't have to beg for it. It's funny, as I formed my relationship here at Journey, I mean, it just, it just opened up like a flower, right? It just, I don't have to go, hey, Jesse, please, man, let me come back. No, I already know I'm coming back, right? Because when God's in it, he's saying yes, I think. And so when God's in it, right, it just, I'm just like, could we go to Sugar Fire? And he's just like, Sugar Fire, amen. And it just happened. It's amazing. You don't have to force the door open. You just receive, because it was a God idea, by the way. And so we're just doing it. No. The blessed filter says, I'm not going to force a door open. I never want to be any place that God has not prepared for me. People ask me all the time, say, Pastor Doug, you know, you preach on all these stages and stuff. Don't you ever get scared? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the gifting God's put in my life, but I have never once, no matter how big the crowd is, been nervous to walk up in front and speak. But I'm always nervous about one thing. Am I supposed to be here? Is God in this? Man, did I make a bunch of calls and kind of manipulate my way in? But if I know that God's in it, amen, then I can walk in with the full confidence of my Creator, and I can walk through a door, and I don't have to force it open because He's in it. And then when I walk into the room, and I experience this every week, I'm feeling it again this morning. I walk into a room, I don't force my way in, and then all of a sudden, there's not enough of me to go around, right? You ever been there before where God opens a door and you walk in and you're so inadequate and you're like, I'm not good enough for this. There's no way. I've been feeling it week after week after week. But listen, the blessing of God, follow me on this, is the expansion of God. Now listen, when I walk into a room just like this morning and I'm inadequate, there's not enough. When you're walking in God's blessing, he just begins to expand himself. And he fills all of the space of you're not enough, amen? And all of a sudden, you're not enough becomes more than enough because you're being blessed by the Creator of the universe. Listen, when you walk in God's blessing, no more fear, no more intimidation, because it's not about your enough, it's about his enough, amen? I want you to understand something when it comes to God's blessing. You were created by God to need him. The reason why your capacity is so small is because God has designed you so that you will have to trust him, you will have to need him. See, the rhythm of this world is replenish and depletion. I'll explain it this way. Have you ever ate on Thanksgiving and you eat everything you could possibly want and then some? And how many of you know gluttony is not a sin on Thanksgiving? Amen. I mean, God just pre-forgives that stuff. It's amazing. And you just eat and you eat and you eat. And then you get to the point, I do it every year, about 2 or 3 o'clock. I'm just like, that's it. I've experienced all the food I will ever experience. It's been a good run, but I never am going to eat again. And then like 7, you're like, where's the pie? What's up? Who's eating all the pie? Give me some whipped cream. You're just because why? Because you fill yourself up, but then you get hungry again. I've had times in my life when I've got more than enough money, but how many know the money's always running out? I've had times when I've got more than enough strength, but then I get tired. God has created it to go, I will fill you up, but I'm also going to let you run out. Your capacities aren't real big, so that you will have to come back and you will have to trust me. You will have to need me. And you know, like all the principles of God, we see this showing up in the pattern of this earth. A few years ago, I had a chance. I had a summer that I wasn't traveling, which is rare for me. And I thought to myself, I've always wanted to have a garden. I'm going to have those big tomatoes and all that stuff. And so I planted a garden. And I started reading the side of the Miracle Grow box. And those of you who know me personally understand my personality. You could understand this. I believe that, like, if you can cook a frozen pizza at 450 in, like, 20 minutes, you turn your oven up to, like, 900, you cook that sucker in, like, 3 minutes. I mean, it's a good plan. And so I'm reading the side, and I'm like, if a little bit of Miracle-Gro will make it grow good, then the whole box will make it grow better, right? And I just mixed that whole sucker up, and then I watered it every day, and I literally drowned and overfed my plants. Here's what God has created. You can plant, you can water, but then you got to step back because only God can make things grow. God is saying, I'm only going to let your life go so far. I'm only going to let your efforts mean so much. And then you're going to have to trust me. And when you do, how many of you know, he makes stuff grow in ways that you can't even begin to imagine. You were designed to walk in the blessing of God. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Doug, I want to do life this way. Man, I've been listening to the teaching over the last few weeks, and I want to live my life differently. All right, man, I don't want it to be about me. My efforts, I'm there. I'm exhausted. There's not enough of me. And so the key question is, where do I start? Now I'm going to help you out today. This is so powerful. Hear me on this. The blessing of God, it is first a spiritual thing before it is a physical thing. The blessing of God does not begin with God doing something for you. No. The blessing of God begins with God doing something inside of you. If you want God to transform your life, then God has to transform you first. There's an amazing prayer found in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. John is the disciple that Jesus loved. He's a famous man of God. I can only imagine having John pray for you. That would be a powerful moment. This is a great prayer, but he really, really screws it up, in my opinion. Let me just read it to you. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, and it says this, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Man, he's doing good so far. How many of you want to prosper in all things? And I pray that you would be in health. How many of you want to be in health? Man, this is a good prayer. And then he messes it up with these two little words, just as your soul prospers. And I'm kind of like, John, I really like your prayer. Thank you so much for praying that I would be blessed and prosper and be in health. But why in the world did you have to say just as? Because I just want to prosper, and then of course I'll love Jesus. But no, that's not what John says. I want you to prosper just as. Everybody say just as. Your soul prospers. What if this prayer became true for you right now in this moment? What if your health, your physical health, was all of a sudden directly determined by your spiritual health? Some of you, you would need an ambulance right now. Some of you, you would need a wambulance right now. I tried that joke in the first service, too, and nobody laughed. Just give me like a pity laugh, a wambulance. Thank you very much. What if your finances, literally your prosperity, was attached to your spiritual health? Some of you, you'd go bankrupt right now in this moment. Listen. The prosperity of a life in God's economy begins with the prosperity of a soul. Jesus said, what good is it to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? The blessing of God begins with letting Jesus awaken and transform your soul. Amen? So, as you leave this morning, I want to give you four simple things very, very quickly to take home with you. Where does the blessing of God come from? The first way, and I'm just going to give you four. The first thing is God's presence, where God is. If you want the blessing of God, then you need to experience the presence of God. There was actually a thing in the Old Testament called the Ark of the Covenant. If you've seen like Indiana Jones movies and stuff, that whole thing was set around trying to get the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was this thing that sat in the Holy of Holies where the priests would go and offer sacrifices. And the Bible says that as the priest was performing the sacrifice at certain times, God would come down and he would literally sit on the Ark. It had like two cherubim wings on it. And God would literally come and he would sit physically on the Ark. So the Ark became representative of the presence of God. Now it's interesting because wherever the Ark was, the blessing of God was. In fact, there were even times when the enemies of Israel would win a battle and they would steal the ark because they knew it was Israel's prized possession. And even when the enemies of God would put the ark of God in their homes, all of their business, all of their family, everything in that home would start being blessed. Even though they didn't believe in God, it would still work. Why? Because wherever God's presence is, the blessing of God is there. Whenever you're spending time in God's presence, you're spending time in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And how many of you know when you hang out with rich people, good stuff can happen? Amen. God can bless you at any second, at any moment. We have a little dog at home. His name is Cooper. Cooper's a little 12-pounder, and he's I'm Cooper's favorite, by the way. Cooper's a Christian, loves God with all his heart. And anyway, he is the best beggar I've ever seen. Cooper will get right on your chest, like nose to nose, and he will not bite you or bite your food, but he wants you just with the slightest movement, just a half an inch, and you can bless him. And in fact, if you drop stuff, it's just like accidental blessing. He just loves that, right? I think that's kind of what God wants for us. He says, just be so close to me that literally at any second, at any time, man, I can just drop a blessing, drop a blessing, drop a blessing. Amen? I mean, you know, God's presence and God's blessing are synonymous. Second thing is this, follow me on this, is his purposes, what God is doing. If you want to be blessed, find out what God is doing and then be a part of that. Don't kick a door open and say, I got an idea, now God, would you bless that? No, no, turn that thing around and say, God, what are you doing? Let me be a part of that. That's part of why I'm involved with missions, because there's three non-negotiables in Scripture, the widow, the poor, and the orphan. The modern-day widow would probably be the single mom. Whenever you're involved with people that God loves and he says he wants to bless them, you get involved with his causes and you naturally get blessed anyway. Read the Bible, find out what God is doing and go be a part of that. Now that's the big picture. But maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Doug, I understand what you're saying as far as that goes, but how many of you are like me and you've ever been going through life and you're trying to be faithful to God and then things start to fall apart and you just can't even figure out for the life of you what God is doing? Man, I've been there before where my life is heading the opposite direction of what I felt like God told me would happen. And now I'm like, God, I can't figure it out. What are you doing? How can I be involved with what God is doing if I can't even tell what God is doing? You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about this a few months ago. And in fact, what some of you don't realize is this fall I'm going to be putting out a book. I really am so excited about what God's going to do with it. It's on restoration in the life of a believer. And I just think God's going to use it. But I've written 75% of that book since January. I'm one chapter out. I'll have it done in another week or two. And about 2 months ago, I was praying about my life and just where it was going. And I don't know, somewhere in that process, I started just being really thankful about the direction of the book. And I had really prayed that God would just make it come out of my spirit, that it wouldn't be my thoughts, but it would be God's thoughts. And I was just thanking God for how the book is coming out of me. And I'm a new author. I don't really know how to write. And yet God was doing that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, not out loud, but just to my heart. And he said to me, he said, son, so you like the way the book is coming out? And I was like, just having an intimate talk with God. I said, yes, Father, I love the way the book is coming out of my spirit. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the reason why the book is going so well is because you're writing that book out of what he called the bucket of brokenness. And I'm like, the bucket of brokenness? I've never heard that. I'm like starting to look up Scripture, bucket of brokenness, what is that? And then the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me this image. He said, son, for the last 25 years or so, you've been processing all of the pain that comes into your life in the way that I teach you to do it. Instead of taking revenge on your enemies, you forgive them. In fact, there's a lot of times when you don't even fight back, but you just allow me to be your banner and your warrior. And you've been processing pain like that for the last two and a half decades. And he said, son, I want you to understand. You know, the Bible says that God saves our tears like in a bottle. He said, I want you to understand that every time you do that, I fill up the bucket of brokenness in your life a little bit more. And he said, and all of a sudden I had this image in my spirit of this beautiful bucket, and it was just overflowing with beautiful brokenness. And God spoke to me and said, your ministry is going to another level because your bucket of brokenness is overflowing, and you're literally ministering out of your brokenness. By the way, if you're a preacher, if you're a minister, you want to minister, that's where the anointing of God comes from. It's your pain that makes you powerful. When you go through stuff and you don't fight back, but instead you let God be your warrior, all of a sudden you start preaching out of a depth, out of a well. You start ministering on a whole nother level. I've been processing that for the last couple of months and trying to apply it to the blessing of God in my life. And about 2 months ago, it happened. I was listening to another minister preach, and he was telling about an illustration that made a lot of sense and helped me to process what God had spoke to me about the bucket of brokenness. He was talking about how he wanted to teach. He had little toddler kids, and he wanted to teach them a lesson. And so he knew they loved chocolate chip cookies. So one day he said, hey, come in the kitchen. We're going to make chocolate chip cookies together. And his little kids, they were so excited, and they went up to the counter, and he laid out all the ingredients. He laid out the brown sugar and the raw eggs and the flour and the butter and the vanilla and all kinds of other stuff. He laid it all out there. And then he said to the kids, he said, there's your cookies. Have at it. And of course, the kid said, Daddy, that's not cookies. He said, yeah, it is. All the ingredients are there. Go ahead and have some. And you know, little kids are like, ooh, we don't want that. We're not going to eat raw eggs. We're not going to eat flour. Maybe you could eat the sugar, whatever. But no, Daddy, that's not cookies. And the dad said, finally, he goes, yeah, exactly. And he said, let me teach you something. And he got out the measuring cups, and he put in the flour, and he started breaking the eggs, and he put all the ingredients in. And as he was talking about how in life sometimes there'll be sweet ingredients, and sometimes they'll be bitter. But you got to put them all in the bucket, right? You got to put them all in the bowl. And they don't become beautiful one by one, but they become beautiful as you let God kind of mix them around, and you put it in the oven of your brokenness, if you will. I mean, you know, God can make something delicious out of our lives if we let him, amen? And even a bitter ingredient, when you let God mix it just right, can become something beautiful. And my friend, maybe you're here today, and you just say, I want to walk in God's blessing, but I just can't understand. Can I tell you, no matter how full your bucket is, if you will give your pain to God and allow him to bring purpose out of regret, out of failure, out of hurt, get ready, because you're going to be blessed. Amen? Your life's going to be a blessing. And finally, let me finish today. Number three is not only his presence, not only his purposes, but his promises, what God has said. Now, I'm almost done. When you begin to claim the promises of God for yourself, they are yes and amen, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. I would encourage you to get a promise book or look up a Bible promise app and begin to claim the very promises of God, Old Testament, New Testament alike, upon your life, because the promises of God represent the blessing of God. There's a Bible story in Hebrews chapter 6 where the writer of Hebrews is talking about the life of Abraham. And he's talking about how Abraham, this Old Testament patriarch, followed and was faithful to God, and he claimed the promises of God, and therefore he was blessed. The context, though, is the promises of God. And then all of a sudden in verse 19, the writer says this. He says, we have this hope as an anchor. Everybody say anchor for our souls. See, the promises of God are like the anchors of God that cause us to be blessed. The best analogy I can think of is the analogy of fishing. I am a fisherman. I love to fish. But even more than that, because I walk in God's blessing, I don't go fishing, I go catching. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, you just got to be blessed, first off, and then you got to know the right people. And I know several people that are great fishermen, and I tell them, I say, don't even call me until you're catching a ton. And then when you call me, I will come running, because I don't like to go fishing, I like to go catching. Now let me think of two illustrations here. One, a few years ago I was fishing in Alaska, and we were right on the Ketchikan River, which is, it's just right outside of Bethel, Alaska. It's where they film Ice Road Truckers. And the pastor I was fishing with, he knew right where the fish were, but we were on a swift river, so we had to put down deep anchors that would hold our boat right where we were at, and almost every cast, we were catching 10 to 15, sometimes 20-pound, beautiful king salmon as we were standing there fishing. And it was just awesome. We weren't just fishing, we were catching, because we were anchored right where the fish were. But this illustration became even more alive to me this past weekend. I actually, 2 days ago, we decided to come over early. The fellow that led me to Christ, he lives in Illinois, just about an hour from here, and he's a big fisherman, and he's got a beautiful bass boat, and so we went out fishing just 2 days ago, and we sat right on this spot, and we were catching just crappie after crappie after crappie, almost every single cast. And I started noticing he had a new trolling motor. And around his neck, he had this remote control. And every now and then, he would do the cool move, and he's playing with the remote control. And I said, is that a remote control for your trolling motor? And he said, yes. I said, could I play with it? He said, no. And he wouldn't let me touch it. And I said, well, it's really cool. Could I? And he said, no. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, have you noticed that for the last 2 hours, we've not been moving even an inch? And I haven't even touched the remote. I said, yeah. He said, that's because the anchor button. I said, the anchor button? He goes, yeah, this thing's got a GPS in it. He said, right out there, there's about a 10-foot little island. And if you cast to the right of that island or the left of that island, you're not going to catch any fish. So I like to stay right on the fish. Amen. I don't go fishing. I go catching. And so he said, I hit the anchor button about 2 hours ago, and that remote control, no matter how many winds, no matter how many waves come, that motor just adjusts, and we won't even move 1 foot off of that spot. How many of you know the blessing of God is like that trolling motor? Literally, God wants you to live a life where you are right on top of what he's doing in the earth, and you are just blessed, 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 because God loves us that much. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap this morning. Isn't that a good God? And finally, the last one, and I'm done. Not just the presence of God, the purposes of God, the promises of God, but also the people of God, who God is for. What I mean by this is simply this. When you get on the right team, you're going to be blessed. I got some great advice for you, Journey Church, 11 o'clock service. Anybody watching online, listen. God only created one organization. You know what it's called? Pastor Tim, see, there he is. You know what it's called? It's called the church. And the church is where God has chosen to put his people. And yet I hear this all the time. Oh, Pastor Doug, I love Jesus, but I just hate the church. I'll hear people say stuff like this. I love Jesus, but I won't go to church because all the hypocrites are there. And my response is always like, well, we got room for one more. You should come. Because how many of you know we're just imperfect people trying to serve God? In fact, let me prove that the hypocrites are here this morning. Anybody ever make a promise to God and break it? Anybody ever say they're going to do something and they do something else? Anybody ever go against something even though you know it's wrong? Absolutely. So what are we? We're just a bunch of imperfect people in the place that God has called us to be, fellowshipping with one another, walking in his grace. You know, saying that you love Jesus, but you hate the church. First off, it's the place where God's blessing is. Secondly, it's a little bit like you saying that you love me, but you hate my wife. The church is called the bride of Christ. And I got to tell you something. I don't care how much you love me. If you hate my wife, we ain't hanging out. It's not going to be there, right? Just won't be any fun. Because you can't love me and hate something that I love so much. No, no, no. It's really more about you, isn't it? I so believe in this that I believe this so strongly that I believe that if you would show up to church on a regular basis and prove the experiment. Now, you shouldn't do this, but prove the experiment if you want to. Show up to church. Don't participate in anything. Don't serve. Don't give. Don't do any of that stuff. Just come and sit your butt down in a seat. And I promise you, over the next couple of months, it'll be like you stepped onto an escalator. Your life will just start going up to another level. Because when you hang around the people that God's blessing, you just start being blessed, right? See, I'm a baseball fan, and I grew up in the St. Louis area, so I am a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Amen. I am in my home country right now, and I'm convinced Jesus is a Cardinals fan. Now, I don't know why they didn't win last year. Something, you know, somebody wasn't right with God or something, but we're going to win again this year. But I live in Kansas City, and a couple of years ago, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series. Now I gotta tell you, I cheered a little bit after the Cardinals were out, but I can't forgive '85 because I grew up in St. Louis and the Royals cheated in '85 I'm just being led as a spirit as I talk this morning, and even the umpire, look it up online, he says he missed that call, But something I figured out about the Royals, they won the World Series, and even the bench players got rings. Even the bench players got trophies. People that never caught one ball, that never swung the bat even once, they all, why? Because when you're on the right team, amen, how many of you know you're going to get blessed? And so listen, my friends, man, the presence of God, the purpose of God, the promises of God, the people of God, they're for you, amen. Now, the big mistake that we can make in a message like this, in a series like the one that we've just been through, if we're not careful, we'll start seeking after the blessing instead of seeking after the blesser. If we're not careful, we'll start chasing the blessing of God instead of chasing God. And that's a terrible mistake because It's like a lack of trust. It's like having a little kid, and he's constantly saying to his daddy, "Give me, give me, give me." My kids used to say, "What are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to have for lunch?" And finally, one day I said, "Don't I always feed you? We always go great places. Isn't it incredible to be my child? So if you ask even one more time, you're not going to get blessed," right? I think sometimes God is saying, stop seeking my hand and start seeking my heart. Because you get the heart, how many of you know, you get all of it, amen? And God wants to bless you. And I would even say it like this. You start chasing God, and the blessing of God will start chasing you. I'll prove it to you. I love this verse, last one of the morning. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. It says, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all the commandments that I command you today. That's why we did this series, because we wanted you to know about the commandments of God. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. In other words, he will lift you to another level. And then listen to this, verse 2. All, everybody say all. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. I love that. If you obey the voice. You know what it means? You start chasing God, and literally the blessing of God will tackle you. It will chase you down. God has so much more for us today, doesn't he? I want you to stand to your feet all throughout the house this morning. Amen. What a good God we serve. Don't you love him so much? Wow. Well, I got so much compassion for you today. I preached my heart. And I know that there's some of us here today that we're just so tired, you know? Pastor, I've only been home about 5 days this month. I'm tired. But I'm a good tired right now. Because I even knew this morning coming in, I'm like, man, I'm too tired to preach. I knew it was going to be a good day. Because when there's not enough of me, amen, how many of you know there's more of him? The Bible says, in your weakness, and in your weakness, he becomes strong. Aren't you tired of trying to climb up the ladder? Kick those doors open and then say, God, would you bless? No, 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 no. He's made you to fit in places that nobody else fits. He's got opportunities out there that they don't have my name on it. They don't have Pastor Jesse's name on it. They got your name on it. Amen? Everybody say it with me. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless you because there's not enough of you. But what you got to do is you got to get a better filter. I drive when I'm at home. We've got a rental car this weekend, but when I'm at home, I drive a Honda CRV. It's a good little car, and the other day it started running kind of bad, And I don't you hate going to the dealer because you just know they're going to rip you off. But I was like, I got to go to the, I got to find out what's wrong. And so I took it in there, and the guy looked at it, and he came back out, and he said, you change your oil lately? And I said, yeah, man, I change it. Every time the light goes off, I change it. And he said, where do you get it changed? I said, wherever's cheapest. He goes, that's your problem. And I'm like, no, you're my problem, man. I'm literally saying this to him. He goes, what? I go, man, I knew you guys were going to try to rip me off. What's up with my oil? And he goes, you got a bad filter. I said, come on, man. You're just trying to get me to do stuff. I said, tell me what's wrong. He goes, no, you got to be. I said, come on. He said, I'll tell you what. I will change your oil, put a brand new filter on it. And if it doesn't fix it, I will pay for the oil change. I said, all right. Went back there, did their $100 oil change. Came back out, started up, ran beautifully. Why? Because I had a bad filter. You know what the problem with some of us? We got a bad filter. And when you got a bad filter, your life just doesn't run like it's supposed to, right? You don't end up getting the places you're supposed to be. We almost treat the blessing of God like it's optional. But it's wrong. It's not optional. There is not enough of you. You're not good enough to walk in your blessing. But when you are blessed by God, amen, all of a sudden you're not enough becomes more than enough. The king of the universe makes stuff grow that you could never make grow. He connects you with places that you could never be connected to otherwise. Telling the first service, I'm hesitant to do this. I don't want you to feel like I'm bragging or anything, but if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. January, I entered into this year, and 2 years ago, we went back on the road full time. I just turned 50. Now, I know I'm really good looking, but I just turned 50. And most people don't leave good six-figure jobs like I did to go do something, you know, start your own business and all that stuff, and we did. And I had really prayed this time around. I traveled full-time before, and I had prayed. I said, God, I don't want to make it happen. I want you to let it happen. And the Word really spoke to me and said, it's not going to be about all your old contacts. It's going to be about people and places that you've never even met. I'm going to open the doors. Last 2 years, I've been so busy. And I have not made maybe 5 phone calls the entire 2 years. God has just opened up the doors. But we started in January this year, and I had 3 open Sundays in the spring, which for me, for to think in regular terms, that'd be like 3 weeks that I'm not getting paid. And I'm just like, God, you know, you got places for me to be there. And I said, I tell you what, Lord, I know you're going to open the doors, but I got 3 names right here, guys I used to preach for, and I'm pretty sure if I called them, they'd have me in. Let me just fill those dates. And I clearly heard the Lord say, do you want to do it, or do you want me to do it? Do you want it to be about who you know, or do you want it to be about who I know? Do you want it to be about your connections or my connections? Amen? And I just backed off. I just thought, that's it. I'm not doing it. I don't care. Maybe, and I didn't have much faith. I was just kind of like, well, maybe I need to be off those weekends. And over the course of the next 6 weeks, I got a call from a large church in Montana that is now going to become our 4th partner church because God has just blessed it so much. I was there first Sunday in April. Last weekend, it's part of why I got jet lag, I was at a church in Honolulu, Hawaii that has 168 campuses. And I can't even tell you how that door opened. And yet, if I had booked those Sundays when that church called, I would have said I got nothing left in my spring. The best Sunday financially I've had all year, a whole new set of connections, and it's all because I didn't do it. And 2 weeks from now, I'll be in New York City preaching at churches that, again, same kind of thing. How many of you know God knows stuff you don't know, amen? He can do it. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. But you got to start trusting him. So I want you to lift your hands this morning. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray a blessing upon this church.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on the website, www.journeychurchmo.com.